and welcome back to This Person I Met. This episode is the second part of my interview with Mr. Summerton, one of the principals at Huron High School. In this episode, we discuss some surprising effects of technology on students' mental health and other common pitfalls of high school. It's funny, we'd only planned to talk for 15 to 20 minutes, but ended up talking for an entire hour.
Like these issues of being terrified of making mistakes and isolation, that all kind of stems from technology.
Do you feel it?
I do, yeah.
I think it's more than that. The globalization of the planet. Yeah. Like, think about U of M. We used to do on-site admissions at Huron. You could get in right in the College and Career Center. Now 70,000 people apply for those spots. So I think the world has gotten smaller that way, and that adds a level. But the permanence of the internet, where, like, if you get in a fight in the cafeteria, that video is going to be up. And when someone interviews you 20 years from now, they're going to pull your name up, and up this video is going to come. So it's part of it. It's wrong. You know, I don't know how, like, your generation is going to have to fix this problem. Like, I don't think, feel like my generation made it, and we haven't done a good job of getting rid of it, you know. And every generation kind of gives the next one some things to work on, you know. It's like, but it is not conducive to kids having a normal, free childhood where they feel like free being themselves, not being put into like pigeonholed by other kids, and being able to figure out who they want to be is hard when you feel like someone's like documenting it all. You know, I mean, that's why I always tell, like, I wish these weren't here in the school. I wish you weren't allowed to have them. I wish that like people's profiles were all private, like, and then, like, anonymous internet use is a problem. You know, it's like there's people that are creating a lot of negative stuff. It may even be a small number of people, but it has a really dramatic negative effect on everybody else. So yeah, I feel like you guys walk in turbulent times, you know, and I think you guys feel that, right?
Yeah. So these aren't issues that are just kind of like centered in like affluent areas like Ann Arbor.
No. And they're different across like socioeconomic level. They're different across race. They're different across gender. Like the bullying that girls feel in like body image shaming and those kind of things that happen in social media is a dramatically different experience than boys would feel. So I've watched it play out very differently, and it's hard. I mean, like, man, oh man, almost every discipline thing I do has a social media footprint to it. You know, I have to explain to so many parents that, like, I don't police the internet. If I did, it wouldn't be, like, a lot of that would be gone because it's just bad. And other countries are dealing with this, too. I mean, like, France has made serious bans on cell phone use. So we would see them as an open, liberal society, but they've limited it for kids. Even Saline High School, which is down the road, knows there's no cell phones in the school. Schools in New York and Chicago have no cell phones in their buildings. So I think people are seeing it's had a really negative impact.
So would you say that, like, cell phone usage is also tied to, like, the anxiety that students feel?
I would say that that's really, those two have gone together. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what year, I thought it was 2009 or 11 that the first iPhone came out. And it took a minute for it to be, like, I remember when it was an adult thing and then, like, a teenager thing and then all of a sudden a six-year-old thing, you know. And now my four-year-old wants to, like, play Candy Crush, you know. I mean, so I think it's worked its way down. And a lot of things are like this. I mean, like Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, like they've all kind of, now Facebook for you guys has played out, but at a certain point it wasn't. I do think that it's made, yeah, like we weren't meant to be staring at a screen that long. It's, and just a very basic level. But then like the dopamine response, we did some data here. This is where we kind of enacted some of our cell phone reduction policies, like you've seen, to go to the hallway, you have to leave this as a pass, and trying to limit it in classrooms, is kids were getting the average 60 notifications a class period. How can you possibly, like, focus all the way when that's happening? And that dopamine response of, like, what is it? You know, it's almost like opening a present 60 times in an hour. It can, I think it's making, like, that's a lot of, there's some physiological things that are happening. We're becoming much more left-brained as a society, much so. Like, and I think that's had a role in it for sure. Cell phones are like probably an easy thing to blame, but they're justly blamed for a lot of it. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have it on you right now?
My phone, yeah.
Yeah. So if I took it from you for a day, how would you feel?
I don't know. There's so many things that you do on your phone.
It's like a modern Swiss Army knife, right? Like, it's like, so the, like, I mean, I remember as a kid, like, a Swiss Army knife was like, it had a saw and, like, a magnifying glass. Do you ever see what you've seen?
Yeah,
one? It's like 50 things in there, right? And it was like, it was a necessity. Like, it felt like something you needed to have. This feels like that to me, too. And I'll do this when I meet with kids. I'll have them put their phone on the table and just watch how many times they look at it, like, while we're talking. And it'll be, like, in 10 minutes, like, 30 times. So technology is a good servant and a terrible master, you know? I mean, that's kind of what Tolkien was getting at, is, like, this is great that it manages my calendar. If this takes things off my plate and makes it more easy to organize, that's helpful. But if it owns me, it's a problem. Like, this is... Do you have your driver's license?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so when... Like, if you talk to your... Like, ask your mom. Like, I GPS almost everything, and I don't know how to get around Ann Arbor because of it. When I was a kid, I knew every side street of where I grew up because I never had a map to go off of. I had to learn it myself. And, like... Just like you play music, like your folks wanted you to play that because it helps develop parts of your brain. Knowing where you are and having a spatial understanding of your surroundings is actually an important part of how you see yourself in the world. So, like, this diminishes that. I think it has a lot more varied effects than people think about. Like, the entertainment factor of it, how quickly the entertainment has to be there before you guys are bored. Like, you guys watch videos that are 10 seconds long now, right? It used to be 3 minutes. It used to be like a movie. You know, now it's, I don't know, maybe like your kids, it'll be a second each or something like that, you know, but there is like, all the, it's nuances, a lot to it, and a lot that's not great, you know?
Yeah. So how do you think we should kind of like go about solving this problem? Like, not just people being too reliant on their phones, but also like the kind of mental, not issues, but just like the mental effects that it has on kids. Like,
I mean, anything I would say, like, research says that the more time you spend outside without that, like, I mean, simple things like climbing a tree, walking in the woods, like, you know, throwing a frisbee around the backyard, like, and the more grounding kind of activities for me, like I take my kids fishing or like fly fishing, hiking, like, the more things you do that are rooted in normal, the normal world around you, build your resilience, lower your stress, make you feel more connected. So, like, I'm hoping that your generation will work less hours than we work. We'll, like, put a premium on being out in the world, too. A lot more accountability for the Instagrams and TikToks of the world that are making an outrageous amount of money, and they don't seem, to my mind, to be held accountable at all for the impacts it's having on people. So, like, should social media be something that 12-year-old kids use? No, it really shouldn't. So you guys are going to have to figure out how to regulate that. And you could take, like, vapes and things like that. Like, those companies are marketing to young kids, and they shouldn't be able to get away with it, you know? So, like, Juul, that company, I did a presentation for our staff. They were going out of business marketing towards 30 to 40-year-olds, 25, you know? And then they made $1 billion the next year changing their marketing to 12 to 14-year-old kids, who it's against the law for them to use the item. So, like, we want a society that's free and open, but we also want some meaningful regulation so companies can't just run roughshod over everybody. And so, like, I feel like my generation did a terrible job of holding those people accountable. If you're making that kind of money, you should be responsible for what happens, you know? And then the level of advertising that you guys are, all of us are subjected to, hasn't been rolled back, and it's too much, you know? Like, everywhere you look, I think, yeah, you guys have your work cut out for you. Oh, man. But it is, like, internal stuff. Other generations maybe had wars to worry about or, like, big geopolitical things. It's less that and more internal, like, how, like, I always remember this, like, a good society makes it easy to be good, and a bad society makes it easy to be bad. And so you want to structure, like, my family, the school, my friendships, I always try to set them up in a way that the right and normal thing is for things to go well. Like, so in a society where following your, like, your common sense is going to lead to positive outcomes, then, like, let's try to build a society like that. But right now, I feel like we're building one that's the opposite, that the normal thing is to cheat. The normal thing is to circumvent rules and or to, like, worship the rules over what's right for people, you know? And you see that, like, immigration in our country, like, this is about human beings, not about rules and guidelines. So, like, which comes first? It's really important that we don't put first things second. You know, if you worship efficiency, like, you're going to lose efficiency and the thing, you know, because efficiency is not primary. So, starting to get a deeper understanding of why we do what we do and how we can make life actually better for humans, not more fruitful ground to make profits and put technology companies everywhere. You know, it's sad. I've watched it. You've seen this stuff where they show like tech on tracking where your eyes go on a computer, and there's people like figuring out what captivates you the most. What, like, that's ridiculous. Like that you would use technology to force someone to be addicted to things that you don't, that they shouldn't be. You know, so this shouldn't be, like, the phone shouldn't be researched to make you only want to look at the phone. Right. You know, I mean, there's got to be some limits in, yeah, I mean, so the regulation part's going to be really big and really hard, you know?
Yeah. And you're surrounded by high school students all the time.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing.
So do you have any advice for, like, people my age as to how to approach all these issues and how to, I don't know, just navigate high school with these issues?
And the first thing is knowing what things you can have an impact and what things you can't. And the things you can't have an impact, have to let them go. And because otherwise you just feel bad about everything. And that can be overwhelming. And then it can make you paralyzed where you're not doing the good you can do. So, like, trying to keep things local and immediate. You know, like, I walk through the cafeteria looking for kids who sit by themselves so I can talk to them. Like, be that person who, like, is looking to boost people up. And things don't have to be big to be important. You know, like, I have a sign over our, because our kids have to do chores, and chores aren't their favorite thing to do. Over the kitchen sink, it says, don't wash the dish because someone told you to. Wash the dish because you love the person who's going to use it next. So, like, trying to see things as human and, like, our interactions are important. Like, what we talk about, it doesn't have to be, like, a big groundbreaking thing. There's too many people that want to do big things and not enough people who want to do little things with a lot of love. And so that's a way, like, to take the focus off of yourself, which can be really depressing, like, even as you get older. Like, every day, my hair turns grayer, more falls out, I get closer to the grave, you know? So those are, like, that's reality, you know? Like, gravity wins, you know? Nobody gets out of here alive, you know? This is what happens. So to focus instead on other people and, like, and relationships and being able to and be able to help other people, there's a joy there that you can't get the other way. And that's where, like, a lot of the cell phone stuff, or just even, like, a narcissistic culture, as a high school kid, you gotta break away from that and focus on friends and teachers that you work with and, like, just your parents. Just all those things are really important. And then once in a while, don't turn your homework in. Once in a while, you know, like, stop and smell the flowers a little bit, because otherwise it can be overwhelming that you wind up thinking everything's a task, and then you're not going to enjoy it. Like, I always worry that students study super hard and then never read a book again the rest of their life. You know, like, there's got to be a piece of joy in the things that you're doing. I don't know, my high school kids and the high school kids I work with here, like, some of it is just to, like, take a deep breath, and it's not as bad as it seems, you know? Things are going to get better, and they do, and life gets better. And, like, then also, you have a lot of awesome people in your life and appreciate it, you know, because that part matters more than, like, bad things that happen, or, you know what I mean? I think that can help keep life real grounded, and then you're going to be happier, you know? That's where I would say, like, I'm not saying I'm anti-self-care, but, like, the care of others is the best self-care there is, you know? That makes me feel best about the world I live in and myself, is, like, being of service to other people. So
I think that's probably the thing I struggle with most, because, like, in terms of technology, I feel like you're always seeing other people, like, post about their, like, accomplishments, how they did that. And you kind of feel like you also have to, like, kind of brag about it, to, like, kind of establish yourself. So that's
scary, isn't it?
Most, yeah.
And you know, too, that, like, it's easy to look better on the phone than you are in real life, right? And one of the things that happens is everyone, what you're describing, is every person has an outside and an inside. What I look like and what's happening internally. And we compare our insides, which is vulnerable, to other people's outsides, or even just a picture of other people's, I guess, not even them. Like the, so that is dangerous. Like, to always remember, everyone is nervous when the test starts. Everybody is anxious when they meet a new person. Everyone, these are things that are human experiences that everyone goes through, and not to think, I'm the world you're in for sure, where everyone has a 4.0, you know, like, well, you have a 3.991, so Maya, what's wrong? Like, it's not, it's good to let that go and realize that all of us are better than we think we are, you know, because it's hard to compare your insides to other people's outsides. And I do worry about people who present a great digital facade and are lonely inside. You know, like, that's sad. You know, it'd be much better to have a terrible Instagram profile and a great life, you know. I mean, but yeah, I would say, like, if I could tell anyone, any human, especially teenagers, like, yeah, appreciate the world right around you, local and immediate. Turn the phone off, talk to the person next to you. Don't text your friend two seats over. Like, talk to him, you know. Spend time with people, like, catch a frog, pick flowers, roll in the grass. You know, these are things that really, really matter. And, like, the, it's called, I'll get into super, the gymnopoetic experience, which is being, is not literally naked, but naked to the world around you, to, like, experience the world as it actually is. Put your bare feet in the grass. And I worry that you guys are standing on computer chips, you know, as opposed to, like, so it's really easy to, like, to experience the world a really different way if you choose it. You feel this way, like, playing an instrument. You feel this way writing. You feel, everyone has way outlets. The outlets are just to get back to the world as it should be, not the one, like we can't make a tree look like a tree. We're bad at this. We think we're great building skyscrapers and all this stuff, but in reality, like, nature around us is far more complicated than anything we can build. So, like, stop, like, the facsimile version, just experience the real one, you know? And in Ann Arbor, the Arb, the Botanical Gardens, there's, like, lots of places to go. So, like, I feel like with my kids, I'll, like, on a Saturday morning, go to the Botanical Gardens with books, lay in the grass and read books, and come back feeling really reset and great. Better than, like, going to the Bahamas for vacation, you know what I mean? Like, it's so, it's, the good news is, because, like, of, just because we have the opportunity, it's easy to reset, you know? So, yeah, you should feel good about your year 1B and reset and feel good about yourself, you know? I also think that if you're trying to be great at the things you're doing, you're going to get there. Like, if it matters to you, you will get there. The worry is that when you get there, that you're not happy, be happy about it. You know, like, I feel like sometimes your generation or our kids struggle with, like, the thing I know how to do is easy, the thing I don't know how to do is hard. But actually, something that you make look very easy, like in like BC Calc, I may think is difficult, you know, or other kids may think, well, I could never take an integral. Like, but you, it's hard and you can do it. If you say it's easy, it doesn't feel good. Like, I do the easy things, you're doing hard things. That's like one of the, it's a really great book called Do Hard Things. I don't know if you've ever read it. It was written by a 14-year-old, two brothers, 14 and 13-year-old brothers, but it was about, like, losing sight of what it is to try hard things that, like, are difficult. You can feel good about having tried and done, you know. You've written a novel, done some hard things, you know. So, I've never written a novel.
Okay. Well, thank you for talking.
Yeah.
I really appreciate
that. Was a fun 15-minute. That was really fun. It was great. Share it with me when it's edited up so I can hear it and laugh at myself.
Be on the lookout for the next episodes in the school-related series. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you so much for your support.